Good morning. Are we on? Is the needle going up and down? Can you put slide one up for me, Andy, please? Oh, it's there, right. Okay, so this is my title, Growth of the Early Church, Lessons for Today. I'm speaking it out because I've realised that when I put PowerPoint slides up, those listening on audio can't see the slides. That's a revelation, isn't it? So what can we learn from the early church? I've read lots of books about church growth, and there's a whole industry about church growth. And if you're not careful, you end up reading books and forgetting the main book. We need to go back to the Bible to get what the picture is. Now, obviously, the culture's different, the language is different, but it's easy sometimes to look at other books and go elsewhere. But what we'll try and do today for at least a short time is find out what we can learn from the early church and what it means for us today. For those of you who perhaps are not familiar, the book of the Acts of the Apostles, so that's its full title, was written by Luke, who wrote the Gospel. It starts off, in my former book, I taught about all Jesus said and did. So it's written by Luke. That may help you, it may not, but it's important to know. It's 28 chapters. The Acts of the Apostles, the first half of the book concentrates on Peter. 1 to 12 is really focused on Peter, and then 13 to 28 focuses on Paul. Paul doesn't really appear until his Damascus Road experience, Acts chapter 9. I'm going from memory there, but I think that's right. So it's focused really on two halves, in a sense. It's about the apostles. It focuses on the birth of the new church. Just a reminder for you, but where's my wife? She's there. She didn't like me asking questions, but Acts chapter 3, can any of you remember what happens in Acts chapter 3? What was it Revelation says? There was silence in heaven half an hour. Pentecost is chapter 2. Peter and John were going up to the gate, beautiful, weren't they? And there was a lame man there. Why do I tell you that? I want to remind you and underline the people we're talking about were Jewish. They were still going to the temple in Acts chapter 3, even after Pentecost had come. They were Jews. And it's important to remember that, because the book is really focusing on what they did. Here's a great verse for you. It's one of my favourite verses. Acts 17, verse 6. Thessalonica, Paul's there. And those round about said this, those who have turned the world upside down have come here also. Wow, what a statement about the early church. They turned the world upside down. When I went to Mattersea Bible College many, many moons ago, I was thinking about this today, it's almost 50 years ago, 45, 46. There was a guy there, Mark knew him well, he's no longer with us, called John Phillips. He used to teach me about the book of Acts. And he said, the first thing I want you to do, get a notebook and a pen, go through the book of Acts and write down every reference to the Holy Spirit. He said, it's the Acts of the Holy Spirit, really. Great thought, great idea. So if you start to do that now, no. But it's worth underlining, the Holy Spirit's involved. Those who have turned the world upside down. Again, me and my mind, the way I work. This was Thessalonica in Greece. How far away was it from Jerusalem? Well, according to what I've looked up, 1,500 miles away, the gospel had spread as far as there. What a fantastic thing. Remember, our kingdom has different values. One of my favourite verses by J.B. Phillips translates Romans chapter 12, the opening verses. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mould. We're supposed to be different, aren't we? Those that have turned the world upside down, they've done something different. They stand out. We're told in the Bible, and it's one of the phrases we often use, we're in the world, but not of it. There's a whole thing of, get myself in trouble here now, people saying whether aliens exist on planet Earth. But there are people of different species, we're supernatural. Yes? We're different, born of the Spirit. Not getting very far on slide one. On our journey together, we need to discover what we can learn from the early church. Slide number two. Thanks, Andy. Here's some, I'm not going to cover all these, but just to think about it, things to consider. Was the focus just on numbers? We'll go on, and I think you know some of the numbers. We'll look at some of the numbers. It's one way of measuring growth. Here's one for you. Was it supernatural or organized in terms of the church structure and how they functioned? People often say, oh, you just need the Spirit. Everything falls into place. Does it? If you read the Old Testament, you'll see God gave absolute precise instructions for lots of things. How to make the ark, what wood to use, how big to build it. The tabernacle, what to use, what to do. It's both, I think. What about this? We often say, don't we? We need to be like the early church. Fancy a bit of persecution. Some of them were put in prison. Some of them were flogged. James was beheaded. Perhaps you don't want to be those bits of the early church. You just want the other bits. It might be persecution was one of the factors that helped the church grow. I don't know. I'm just putting it there for you to think about. Clearly that was going on. Strong leaders. It's the Acts of the Apostles, so it focuses very much on the apostles. Ephesians 4:11 says, when Jesus ascended, he also descended. He gave gifts unto men, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And this, in old language, we used to be a Pentecostal church. We're now Carmel Community Church, but we still believe the values that the Spirit is for today. So those leadership gifts are for today. Not just, they didn't finish in the book of Acts. Some things to consider. Slide three. I've borrowed this from elsewhere, so I confess, might be a bit small for you to see, but it outlines the growth of the church in terms of numbers. Peter stands up with the 11 and preaches, and it says 3,000 were saved that day. Don't know what. Quick guess, it's probably about 60 of us in here at the moment. Imagine 3,000 getting saved today. Where are we going to put them? It then says 5,000 were added. People were added daily. The disciples multiplied. They were baptized. The word spread. Churches were multiplied. Wow. Amazing things going on. Things we can learn from. That chart of church growth. The other thing which is interesting, it shows you where things happened. It started in Jerusalem and spread. The gospel's not captive just to this church. It's to share, isn't it? I think over recent weeks, those are some of the things Mark's been saying about being witnesses. It's for sharing. Gospel, I'm sure you all know, the word means good news. We've got good news to share. And that's a challenge in itself. Slide number four. Here are the disciples before Pentecost. Just a rewind. Jesus is crucified. He gets resurrected from the dead. Pentecost is 50 days after Passover. Acts 2, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, but before then, this is where they're at. All the disciples deserted him and fled. Pretty strong group, wasn't it? Don't forget, they'd been with Jesus 3.5 years, living, breathing, eating, being taught every day, and yet still they didn't quite get it. That maybe is encouraging for some of us who think we get a bit confused. They were confused. Jesus sometimes said to them, do you not yet understand? And they didn't, really. When they heard Jesus was alive, they did not believe. Wow. What a thing. It's where we get one of the phrases, I don't know if people still use it, but comes from these chapters. When we talk about being a doubting Thomas, Thomas said, unless I see the nail prints, I'm not going to believe. When I was doing this, I was thinking of an illustration. Sue and I used to look after a young man. In fact, we bumped into his mum last week, Ben Gill, massive City fan. And I used to put him to bed at night, and he'd say to me in the morning when I woke him up, what was the City score? And he'd say, they lost 7-0. What I always say. Then he was with me one night for the World Cup. Brazil were playing Germany. And I woke him up the next day. He said, what was the score? I said, Germany beat Brazil 7-1. He said, no, they didn't. And they actually did. 2014. But because I'd said it so often, he didn't believe. But here the disciples just didn't quite understand it. They didn't get it. Before Pentecost, they hadn't got it. So the next slide. What changed? You'll know these verses well. Luke 24, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Remember I told you, Luke wrote the book of Acts. Acts 1:8, we'll know this verse, but you shall receive power, dunamis, where we get the word dynamite, dynamo from, power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. What changed? The Holy Spirit came. It made them different. We all know this, but I underline it for you. The only way we're going to make a difference is through the Holy Spirit. If you thought you were clever enough and your intellect was going to do it, no, it ain't. When I first got saved, I read a book on the four major cults, and I got very involved with working out how the Mormons were wrong and the Jehovah's Witnesses and Christian Scientists and all sorts of people. And I would often go down to the Mormon temple and talk to them. Quite interesting conversations. I was saying to somebody the other day, they didn't believe me. I got the note somewhere. Joseph Smith once preached the moon was made of cheese, which is interesting. Jehovah's Witnesses, who only say the name Jehovah is the only name, had lots of them knock on my door. But I learned very quickly, you can't argue people into the kingdom of God. The Spirit's got to draw them. And we can't do things through our intellect or being cleverer than someone. Yes, we've got to give an answer. Got to give a reason for the hope that is within us. But it's got to be done by the Spirit. What happened? The disciples were changed by the Spirit empowering them. What does it say about Peter? Peter, full of the Spirit, stood up and said. It's an amazing thing, Acts chapter 2. Everyone heard them in their own language. I don't know which was supernatural, whether both the speaking or the hearing. If you've been to a foreign country, it's very frustrating listening to conversation when you don't understand what's going on. I've preached in a couple of churches abroad when I've had translators and they're about 2 minutes behind you. Preached in Spain and I'm like, "What, you're all laughing at? I've said the wrong thing. What's he said?" Derek will understand that. He teaches a little bit of languages, German. Got a French class, have you, Derek? Yeah. But we have got to rely on the Spirit, haven't we? Could say that's one of the keys to learning. What changed? Well, I said to Mark, really, when we're talking about this, could be all over in 30 seconds, because I could just say the Holy Spirit. That's the key. It is, but we've got to work it out better than that. So how then? What changed? Next slide. Here we are, Carmel Community Church. I've put three C's. Community, care, conversation. If you prefer, conversation, communication, if you prefer that. They were all together in one place. They all met together, spent a lot of time together. It was a community, that word I'm sure you know, koinonia, common, having things in common. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Wow. When I was part of the church in Nottingham, part of the leadership there, I think the church at that stage was about 1,000 strong, 3 meetings on a Sunday. About 6 or 7 or 8 of us families decided we'd try a little bit of sharing. We bought a vax cleaner between us and we'd share it. A lawnmower. Just trying to work out. But more than that, they were meeting together on a regular basis. And can I say to you, and I hope you don't take this the wrong way, there are some things we can't achieve on our own, we've got to be together for. Where there is unity, God commands the blessing. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Unity, listen carefully, is not uniformity. Don't all have to dress the same, but our ideas need to be the same. We need to be heading in the right direction in the same way, don't we? In order to achieve, they were together. They realized it was a common goal. In fact, here's a public health warning for you. If you're going to go home and read the book of Acts, watch out, because some of it's quite challenging. Some of those who had houses sold them, brought the money to the apostles and said, there you go, go and sort out the needs of others with it. So, you know, if you can sell your house today and give me your money, no, I don't mean that. But it's a challenge, isn't it? In fact, if you read Acts chapter 5, it's quite a threatening chapter. Two people who sold some of what they had came and told the apostles they'd made less money than what they actually had. And guess what happened? They died. It wasn't about declaring the money, it was about telling lies. Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira, if you're not sure what I'm on about. Community, something together we cannot achieve alone. One of the most quoted scriptures any of us ever quote, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. Something about being together. Hebrews says, don't neglect the assembling of yourselves together. Together we can achieve. Care. I've used this a lot, and it's one of my particular things. Charity begins at home. What do I mean? Galatians 6:10 says this, let us do good as we have opportunity, especially to the household of faith. Guess whose responsibility it is to look after each other? Social services. No, it's not. It's our responsibility. Some of you, I'm sure, must have read the book of Acts. What happens in Acts chapter 6? Any offers? You're all frightened to answer now in case you get it wrong, aren't you? There was a problem in the church because the Hebrew widows were missing out on food and clothing. And the apostles said, this isn't working. Choose 7 men from amongst yourselves to go and serve on the tables. We must give ourselves to the word and to prayer. So they appointed what we would class as deacons. Serve, in the Greek, is diakona. But notice, they were full of the Spirit and wisdom. Wow, high qualifications just for deacons, aren't they? But what was that about? That was about caring. I think it's in Titus, but I might be wrong. It's either Timothy or Titus. It says the church ought to keep an actual list of widows and orphans so they can provide for them. It's the church's responsibility to look after its own. That's what I'm saying. Care. We should be showing care so other people can see what's going on. We care. See how they love one another. Sorry, is this a bit challenging for you? That's the way it is. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. That's Galatians 6:10. I read a book many years ago by a bishop called Leslie Nabingen, called The Household of God. It's based on these verses. something I looked at. Paul with communities. Interesting. So care. Not only were they looking spiritually, they were looking practically. If you read the book of James, he has some very stinging things to say. What good is it if you say to somebody in need, I will pray for you? He said, you need to do a bit more than that. I'm not minimizing, because I'm a big supporter of prayer. I think prayer works. It's prayer and, isn't it? Prayer and good works. Ephesians 2:10, we're saved for good works prepared in advance for us to do. If you want to talk to God and have a look what he's prepared for you tomorrow, because he's got stuff lined up for you. People to meet, things to do. How can we grow? Through community, through care, through conversation. I've got down in my notes here, be positive. Here's one of the things I've learned as an individual. If God's not real in your life, it's hard sharing with others reality. It's hard to convince other people if you're not there yourself. That's not about making stuff up. It's about being honest and authentic. When I first became a Christian many years ago, I thought I had to have the answer to everything. And sometimes I told people wrongly, oh, it's this or it's that. You're better off saying, I don't know. Rather than making stuff up, just say, I don't know. I've left that one with God. Here's another revelation for you. Dawned on me in prayer years ago. I'm logic, I'm word-based. I like to understand stuff. And God spoke to me one day and said, you have to believe, not understand. There's a difference. There's some stuff in the Bible I don't understand. I'll own up. But I know he'll work it out. It's important. Don't get tied into that. You don't have to understand everything. You've got to believe on him. And even that's spirit-led, isn't it? Can't believe unless the Spirit leads us. Community. We together need to make a noise and people will see, won't they? I want the day to come, and it's not far off, when people will come to this church because they know stuff's happening and the Spirit's moving. Isn't how we should be? Anyone out there? Hello? Not coming to see me or see the leaders. It's not about the leadership, they would say the same. It's about the Holy Spirit at work in us and through us. It's interesting when you read the book of Acts, it says people were in fear of the apostles, yet more and more people joined them. What's going on? Interesting. So through your conversation, I'm not talking about hitting people over the head with the Bible. I'm talking about sharing stuff from your life. Sometimes it's a phrase like when somebody shares something, they're in got a problem, would you like me to pray for you? Not a big deal, is it? But in a sense, you're saying, I've got a belief outside my system. I think I've told you before, when I was working at Clarendon, I was teaching RE, religious education, at A level. And they decided they weren't going to renew my contract, which I was disappointed about. But the lady who was in charge of me said, you seem to be taking it well. I said, well, my life is not based on this. I've got faith, and I'm looking to God to sort stuff out. And she said, oh, that's quite impressive. When I got made redundant from the housing in Newcastle-on-the-Lyme, oh, you're going to struggle. I said, I'm not defined by my job. I'm bigger than that. What are you defined by? What do people know about you or know you as? Slide 7. We're moving on. He said, okay. Here's the summary. So community, care, conversation. Show your faith by your deeds. Show how you react. See, if we're going to be different from a different kingdom, we've got to react differently, haven't we? What is it? Our mission statement, our actions, our conversation, our reactions. how we react sometimes defines us, doesn't it? Quite interesting sometimes when you're about. People say, oh, no, he's in the room with Aunt Swear. What's going on? People understand that we carry something. We carry an anointing. I think Mark talked about it a few weeks ago. What sort of aroma are you? What smell do you carry? Are you one of the people love to be with, or people leave the room when you come in? Which are you? What's the flavor you carry? Paul says to those dying, we are the aroma of Christ. Positive. Give them hope. That's what people need. I put down here, be wise. As wise as serpents, the Bible says, as harmless as doves. Be wise in the way. Sometimes it's better not to speak than to speak out of turn. Or give yourself space to think. Often, we're with friends who sometimes going through loss or grieving, you're never sure what to say. Just being there sometimes can be enough. Just being there. Be wise, be humble. I've said this before. I'm a fan of John the Baptist. I must decrease, he must increase. That's what should happen. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me. If Jed's lifted up, I don't think Jesus gets a look in. And it's important, isn't it? Basic stuff, you know all this. I'm just getting my highlighter out to underline it for you. Be wise, be humble, be honest. I tell you what, the world's lacking this quality today, honesty. I said it before years ago, Andrew Shearman preaching said, honesty's not the best policy, it's the only policy. Be honest. People respect that. We had a thing, stupid little things, but it shows how things work. When I worked in housing, if you went out and did a trip, you claim mileage. And we went from where we were to Hanley in Stoke-on-Trent. And as usual, the finance department in their usual way of counting beans said, Sue Moore, she's put down 3 miles, and Mike Brown, he's put down 2.5 miles. What's going on? We had this thing, and my boss said, if he said it's 3 miles, it's 3 miles, he's honest. What a thing. Eventually, we decided to sort, just say, don't matter what route you use, it's 3 miles. That'll keep them happy. Because there's different ways of driving to Hanley. It's just the way it was. Stupid thing. It probably, we're arguing about £2.50, you know. Spent 50,000 on something over here, but you know, your mileage to Hanley, two of you claimed, you know, half a mile extra. It's going to cost us 40p, that. Give me a break. Been there, Sue, a bit. Be honest. Be brave. We used to sing a song, didn't we? Be bold. Be strong. For the Lord thy God is with thee, Linda. One of the biggest words used in the book of Acts is about boldness and bravery. When they're put in prison and they got called before the Sanhedrin, they said, okay, we'll let you off this time, but when you go out, don't speak anything again in the name of Jesus. And they said, we must rely on God rather than man. And from that time on, it said they continued to spread the word with boldness. Why, imagine that. You've just been threatened. You'll be back in jail if you talk about that guy again. And what did they do? It says, you've filled Jerusalem with your teaching. Wahey! What a church that was. How about filling Denton with our teaching? That'd be good. I'm getting excited. Slide 8. We're finishing. I don't know how we're doing for time. Not too bad. Okay, if you've got any questions, come and talk to me. You can email me. I haven't got all the answers. Nobody's got all the answers. But the Bible gives us, if you like, a blueprint. If you want to be like the early church, we need to get hold of the Holy Spirit and empower us to be witnesses through our community, through our care, through our conversation. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Jed. That'd be worth listening to again. If you go onto our website, you can listen to anything that we record on a Sunday morning. Well, that's a real challenge, you know, when you